بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام, my brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah has given us solutions for every difficulty and problem. And Allah has given us a complete deen, which He has sanctioned, approved of. We follow it, we will be successful. We do not follow it, then the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon those who do not adhere to the Shariat of Islam.
Today we start discussing Jihad fi Sabilillah. And spiritual leaders and listeners, as far as Jihad is concerned, as a rule, our knowledge is very limited. Because generally we are not taught this. We are not taught what is Jihad. But we think we know what is Jihad. Laws of Salat, we know. We have been taught in the Madrasa, we have been taught in the Institute, and also lecturers speak about it. Laws and rules and regulations concerning Zakat, every Ramzan comes, we learn about it. And we, alhamdulillah, give out the zakat. So we've got some idea about the laws of zakat. Who to give, who not to give, who is liable, who you should abstain from giving. As far as jihad is concerned, we know very little. Who should go for jihad? Why must we make jihad? When we should make jihad? Let alone the definition of jihad. What is jihad? What is da'wah? What is tabligh? What is ishaat-e deen, spreading of deen? The biggest things, respected elders, we don't study them. That is why we are not acquainted with them. We don't know the laws pertaining to the simple things about jihad. To consider today your first lesson of jihad. And ulama ikram have written, some ulama have written, that just as the five pillars of Islam are important, a Muslim, it is essential for him to know about jihad. And as weeks go by, when we return, when we start explaining the ahadiths relating to jihad and the stress which the Shariat is putting upon jihad, then we realize that we are missing out. Come Hajj period, we have workshops, we have seminars, we have lessons. And those who are going for Hajj in certain areas in our own country, South Africa, in certain regions in our country, lessons on Hajj have already started. For those Hajjis, potential Hajjis who are going for Hajj. So when a person goes for Hajj, he has some idea. But as far as jihad is concerned, then every Muslim knows nothing. Let us get this straight. An average Muslim, he does not know what, where jihad started, why it started. As far as jihad is concerned, what we may regard it, to go out in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to go out in tabligh and da'wat. And when you go out in tabligh and da'wat, then the concept presented is that this is jihad. Then when you go out into the khanqa and you get yourself linked to the sheikh and the peer, when he says you make jihad of the nafs and fight against your inner desires and your carnal desires and your passions, and when you are with the sheikh and when you are with the peer and when you are in the khanqa, and then you are explained about jihad, then you ask the person, making jihad? He says, I'm making jihad against my nafs. For a Jew's concern, jihad starts there, ends there. Then on the other hand, you get, in other parts of the world, those who align themselves with Taliban, those who have aligned themselves with Al-Qaeda, those who have aligned themselves with Hamas, they say they make jihad. And they prove that they are making jihad. And each one is saying, I am making jihad, and where the difficulty arises is when a person says, I am the only one making jihad, the rest are wasting time. Understand clearly what I'm saying. I don't misquote me. We are saying that alhamdulillah, everybody who is way out in the path of Allah, who is striving in the path of Allah, who is enjoying what is good, forbidding what is evil, is doing some sort of jihad. And as long as it is conformity to the Sharia of Islam, it is rewardable, laudable, praiseworthy, we should be encouraged. Any person, and all those people who I mentioned, they are far better than us, because we are those people, like when Musa alayhi salam, when he called his people to make jihad, they told his people, they told him that inna hauna qa'idun, that you are sitting here laying eggs in brackets, you will not move it. You and your Rabb go and fight. They told him, you and your Rabb, you go and fight. And they said, we're sitting here. Most of us are like this. That when we see some other people striving in the path, they are viciously striving in the path with their pen, with their sword, or they are purifying their soul, then we want to be critical. But remember, they are far better than us who are doing nothing. However, that jihad, let us define it first. What is jihad? Jihad is to strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sword, arms and ammunition to uplift the deen of Allah. Now in jihad you have two things. One is called offensive jihad, and one is called defensive jihad. Wherever we try to explain about the battles of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the expeditions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because we are afraid of this Western propaganda against us, And where it's afraid of the Orientalists against us, we suffer impurity complex. And we say everything in Islam was done through defense. Whereas there is defensive jihad and there is offensive jihad. To lift the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To defend the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kalima of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We unfortunately have not fully understood the purport, the meaning, the significance of tawheed. That is why we have not valued it. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fully understood it. He told the Sahabas, and that is why they went out so much in jihad. Because they knew what they have been set out to do, what they have come to do. On one side you have got what ayat la ikraha fi deen. There is no compulsion in deen. This refers to general mankind. No compulsion in deen. Wherever Muslim proper armies went, they did not force the people to become Muslims. But as soon as a person becomes a Muslim, then they enter into Islam in totality, completely, wholeheartedly, willingly, voluntarily, happily, without any restrictions. Come now and become Muslim proper. And strive in the path, make jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have been chosen for this. And strive how striving is supposed to be. Make jihad how jihad is supposed to be done. Now this is referring to all of us. And once a person now becomes a Muslim, then he has to make dawah. He has to give dawah. Dawah to Muslim and dawah to non-Muslim. Today our dawah, respected elders, is restricted to Muslims. Which is good, because there are ayat and enough Quranic, enough ahadiths to substantiate them. So now we get offensive jihad and we get defensive jihad. In the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's where we draw our information from. Jihad was made for uplifting the kalima, for protecting the kalima. When jihad becomes farz ain, like how we get issues that are farz ain, farz kifaya, in jihad also we get this. Jihad, when it is farz ain, when it is farz kifaya, what we should be doing during the time. Jihad becomes farz ain when the borders of Islam are being threatened and are being troubled and are in jeopardy. Or if the Amir of the Muslim Empire, he says we have to make jihad. Or the Muslim women and children, their lives, their iman, their lives, their dignity, chastity, property are at stake when you make jihad. And jihad to spread and eradicate corruption, to eradicate kufr and shirk and innovation, that is when you make jihad. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Medina. See the words that I attach to jihad. One is jihad, one is ghazwa, one is saraya, one is anfal, ghanima, one is faith. These are words attached to jihad. I mention it again. And in your mind, and you who are listening, see how much you know, how many definitions you know. And these are simple terminologies relating to jihad. Ghanima, Anfal, Fain, Ghazwa, Saraya. And the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, they went out to jihad. Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam was that person who said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses me with 70 children, male children, I will send everyone and make them mujahid. It was Hazrat Dawood who killed Jalut, which you know as Goliath, with a caterpillar and three stones, went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrah. And after 8 months in Medina, the first ghazwa took place. We are told that Badr was the first. Badr was the first where blood was spilled. But prior to that, and Badr was 18 months after Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into Medina to Munawwara. Prior to that, 8 months before that, 8 months after Hijrat was the first ghazwa. Now I talk about first ghazwa. What do you mean by first ghazwa? The ghazwa is that battle in which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself took part in. So the battle that he himself took part in, we call that ghazwa. And Saraya, we call that battle, that expedition, he dispatched in enemy part in it. That means he dispatched it from Medina to Munawwara, and from wherever he was, he dispatched it. But he never took part in it. In the history of Islam, Tabaqat ibn Sa'd says there were 27 ghazawat. How many? 27. And 47 saraya. 47 saraya. Totally what? 74 expeditions of battle. 74 expeditions of battle Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undertook. In the short duration of what? 8 months after he comes into Medina, after 8 months the first ghazwa takes place. Until he breathes his last, 74 expeditions or battles he undertakes. So what do you think? He was selling samosas? He was busy with respect to the elders, and he was busy with the sword. If you do a calculation, every 60 days, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was either involved himself in the battle, or he was sending out someone to battle. And battle where there will be loss of life, where there will be potentiality of fighting, where there is will be confrontation of the enemy, where there is will be physical fighting. Out of that 74, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself wielded the sword in actual fighting in 9 battles. In 9 of them, he actually fought himself with the sword. Now when they go and they take over the area, the booty that they get, the spoils of war, that is called ghanima in Urdu, anfal in Arabic. So the booty, the spoils of war, and the laws for that have been stipulated directly in the Quran and in the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how the booty must be distributed amongst the soldiers, amongst the fighters, amongst the mujahideen. So that booty, when they went to fight and they got the booty after takeover, they distributed it. That was called ghanima and fal. Booty, spoils of war. When they went into an area, when they went into an area and the enemy without resistance they just handed themselves over, then that booty is called faith. That booty is called faith. There was no fighting involved. And it was just a walk over, it was just a take over. The enemy were subdued without any fighting. So can you imagine now, respected elders, the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, major portion of his life is sending out expeditions, dispatching expeditions, making jihad. For what? For the protection of the deen of Allah, for the defense of the deen of Allah, for upliftment of the deen of Allah. And what is ribat? Ribat is that when a soldier, he stands on the frontier of Islam, on the border of Islam, guarding the borders of Islam. Today you and I know what happened in Iraq. In the light of the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is in Bukhari and Muslim, Syria is next. And in the light of the Shariat of Islam, in the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Syria is Egypt. And after that, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in one hadith that due to the population pressure in Jerusalem, the people of Medina are going to be rejected. To that extent, the hadiths are speaking. And the loss that we are getting, and the difficulties that we are getting, and the so-called pressures that are put upon us, and the victory that is not in sight, if we look carefully, we are still in the days of ignorance. We are fighting on the grounds of nationalism. Everywhere where there is a war, you'll see that they are fighting on the grounds of nationalism. There is not one Muslim leader currently who is saying that let us fight on the grounds of Islam. Every other person is fighting for nationalism. Whereas the hadith is clear that Islam has come to destroy nationalism. To this extent, the hadith is stating that on the day of judgment, the person who strove for nationalism and the person who was proud of nationalism and the person who fought for nationalism and the person who promoted nationalism, that on the day of judgment, in his posterior there will be a flag to denote and to demarcate that this person was the person fighting for nationalism. And the more vicious he was fighting for nationalism, the higher the flag would be to show that this person was fighting, or this nation was fighting for nationalism. In Islamic short history, there were two people who called for Muslim unity, international Muslim unity and Islamic unity. One was Bhutto. He was a Fasik, a Fajr. But he called, when Pakistan made the atom bomb, he called it an Islamic bomb. The other one was Steve Fraser. They called for Muslim unity, Islamic unity. Nowadays, you see, they're fighting for nationalism of men and for color and for race. How the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come there? So, respected elders, we have to learn about jihad like how we learn about salah. We have to learn about jihad like how we learn about zakat. We have to learn about jihad like how we learn when we're going for a hajj. How we learn about that, we have to learn about jihad. These few things that I mentioned to you, that should be an introduction. That there is much for us to learn. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith before I conclude, that he said, if a person does not in his heart have an aspiration to fight and to make jihad, and he dies, He dies in the state of hypocrisy. He dies in the state of hypocrisy. The other hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that if a person rears a horse, and this horse he rears for the sole purpose of jihad, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on his good deed scale, the dung of the horse, the urine of the horse will be included, the weight of it will be included for this person on his good deeds. Encouraging the Muslim that listen, you must make jihad. And understand carefully that the anti-terrorism bill that is coming in our country, it is there to negate the spirit of jihad in every Muslim's heart. It's to remove that spirit of jihad. And yet, our country, we don't even know what is jihad, let alone whether we've got the spirit of jihad. So we should make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you take that to jihad, wherever they are, mujahideen striving and fighting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the victory. And we should make dua for the innocent people who get involved in the crossfire of the dirty, rotten international politics. They get caught up in the crossfire and they die. And we should start making jihad. And minimum we can do, technically speaking now, as far as jihad is concerned, is to fill the masajid, come to salat, be regular in salat, look like Muslims, feel like Muslims, talk like Muslims, behave like Muslims. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.